I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Lovely listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. We're proud to bring you this show only on IRB English Radio. And of course, in the studio, as always, I have my special guest and darling sister, Sister Razia Shamini. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Dear Zainab, happy to be here.
I'm totally excited to have you with us again so we can continue our active discussion that we left off from last episode. It was regarding women's health and the parents' pre- and post-pregnancy diet, the things that they should take into consideration, the steps that they should take, and the cautions that they should be aware of. And I think we're basically just focusing on mindfulness. Mm-hmm. In regard with this huge transition in a person's life, becoming a parent and bringing life into this world. And Sister Razia, last episode, are we going to have a recap? Do you want to have...
Sure.
Let's go over what we talked about.
Well, this topic is very comprehensive. Mm-hmm. We're very... It's multidimensional. So you have so many things to talk about. Yep. Basically... we're talking about the Muslim lady, mm-hmm. and I can all never just really have a clear border between family, child raising, and the Muslim lady. Mm-hmm. They are so interwoven. Mm-hmm. Seriously, you can't really distinguish one from the next. Mm-hmm. So, on the one hand, we're talking about a lady who is planning to become pregnant. Mm-hmm. And, of course, all these issues will have to be a couple's concern from even pre-spouse selection phase.
Yeah.
If you want to fix one piece, you can't really expect to change the whole picture. I mean, everything, it's like family is a system where all the pieces of the puzzle, they have to be together in order to give you a shape, to give you a good picture, a good scene.
So there has to be a harmony. Basically.
Exactly. Between all the pieces of the puzzle and all the gears in this machine, right?
The ridges and the corners and the different shapes, they have to fit in together.
Exactly. And if one starts moving, the rest, they have to like follow in harmony.
And circulate.
Exactly. So that's why today I thought we should talk a little about things that people should consider from, you know, pre-spouse selection. Of course, some people are at the phase that they're already married and they're planning to have a child. And this is like the preconception era of their mm-hmm. life. But some other listeners and audience that we have who are following us are thinking of getting married. And they are so far-sighted that they actually have in mind that the future father of my children or the future mother of my children, how will they be? Because if you remember, in our previous episodes, we did talk about the fact that one of the rights of the child upon the father is to choose a good name to teach that child the Quran and to choose a good mother for the child. Mm. So you see, Islam has this into consideration that if you want, that fatherhood starts all far beyond, before even the stage of getting married or selecting your spouse. So that is why I just want to shift your attention to the phase where you are, you have to, what, you know, the Islamic guidelines and principles that we have if we want to choose a proper partner for our life, whom will be the future father or mother of my child. Mm.
So that is definitely a very, very serious discussion. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to raise more awareness regarding this matter among the youth, especially because it literally changes the course of their lives and the lives of the future generations. We cannot imagine how significant this process of choosing a spouse is.
It is so hugely, hugely significant. You know, sometimes I say that, well, some people will say, well, I will try to make my best decision in life in choosing my partner. But then if things don't work out, I can get a divorce. But then the consequences of this divorce, they're so huge that it will impact your life until the end of it. So you have to be so careful, especially when there's a child in the picture.
Yeah, definitely.
And everything becomes so catastrophic, and it's a lose-lose situation.
It really is. And my heart really goes out to children who are from broken families.
They are.
Because the poor baby, she or he did not choose to be in this situation. And they're here now. And even though the parents really do, most parents, I've seen parents that really don't do their best. But for those who do, they are. But at the end of the day, how much resources can they possibly have? They're just as broken and traumatized from this event as the baby.
Exactly.
And it's really sad. Anywho, before I get myself crying and I get my darling guest sentimental over this topic, we're going to quickly and swiftly move forward and talk about the importance of the whole process of spousal selection in order to have a sound, good, fruitful, productive, bountiful, prosperous marriage. And I can't help but think that there's another aspect of this that we need to talk about too, and I'm pretty sure we are, I feel in my guts. And I think we've discussed this before this show. We talked about the material aspect of taking care of ourselves. I'm pretty sure there's this moral, spiritual aspect of taking care of ourselves too that we need to tackle.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Previously, it was the month of Ramadan that we were recording, and we talked so much about food and nutrition and different kinds of soups and porridges, and you know, our mouth were starting to water, and we were fasting, and we had a really hard time in the studio. I remember
the things
that
we do for our listeners.
You know, so in many societies, I'm talking about Muslim societies, when somebody comes to you to propose to your daughter, like the first question is that, does he have a house?
Does he have a car?
Does he have a car?
Stable career.
Exactly. Does he work part-time or full-time? And then where's his house? Who are his family?
Which area?
In which area does his parents live? And they barely pay attention to these questions that, what does he do? Like, what kind of behaviors does he have in life? Who does he befriend? Does he value praying? Does he value fasting? Is he a kind-hearted person? Is he a responsible person?
Honest, trustworthy, generous. Wait. Oh, my God. A stingy husband is intolerable. That's girl, if you're dealing with a stingy husband, honey, my heart goes out to you.
Definitely. And before giving more instances or examples, we are specifically dealing with the issue of spouse selection as it is related to the topic of childbearing and parenting and, you know, the influence it will have later on in life. There's a beautiful hadith from the Prophet that it says that be very careful, be super cautious on where you place your child, you know, to whom you have relationship with, to in whose womb you place your your sperm, right? Because blood and genes do have a tremendous effect on your child.
Obviously.
So that is why we're going to talk about this topic. For instance, in a beautiful hadith from, we're talking about the criterions or standards that a boy and a girl should have in mind when selecting a spouse. Like one of them is whether that person commits acts of corruption or like commits sins outwardly without having any shame, right? Like going to discos or having a girlfriend or drinking and, you know, things like that. And there's a beautiful hadith from Imam Ridha alayhi salam that states that beware not to give your daughter's hand in marriage to a person who's a drunkard, right? So, like, one of the criteria is that. And then there's the question that some people might have had a really bad past in their lives, and then they have changed. And you're wondering, you know, whether I should choose this guy or girl as my spouse to be. Mm. And then they're like, you have to see if they have stopped that kind of lifestyle, corruptive lifestyle in the past, and they are very sorry about that previous life that they had, and they're really struggling to make up for the shortcomings or for the past dark page in their life that they have had. Right. If this is the case, then it's totally okay to proceed with the case. Otherwise, if you tell the guy, so, you know, you've done this and that, now what do you think about it? They're like, you know, well, we're humans and we're young people and we only live once.
Exactly.
If that's the approach, well, girl. One very important, so we talked about the fact that he shouldn't outwardly commit corruption, right? Mm. The second one, like one instance of which was to drink, to be an alcoholic.
Even an alcoholic, someone
who has the habit of drinking.
Exactly.
Right?
Or just even not a habit, just, you know, allows himself to even get close to alcohol or associates with groups that drink alcohol. I mean, as a Muslim, that's like a red line for
us. Exactly. That's a no zone,
yeah.
Right? In the picture of the Muslim family, you have a manager. I'm giving you the larger picture. And then you have the executive manager who works, who is a counselor of the main manager and works in harmony with him. You know, I'm talking about the lady of the house. And basically, if we believe that the man is to be the provider, I mean, the material provider for his family, and it's like he's him doing jihad when he's providing. So basically, the person who stays at home and who has more free time to do the child raising under the guidance and supervision of the master or the principal is the lady of the house. So this kind of family would function only when this guy is a faithful person.
Yep.
Has iman. I'm not just talking about just the mere act of praying, and then once he finishes praying, he would do anything.
Yeah.
A kind of God fear, a kind of taqwa, self-care against sins in all aspects of his life, whether it's in his behavior towards his wife or his children or his parents or his co-workers or his environment. This faith has to shine in all aspects. The rays of faith have to be reflected in his actions and in his treatment towards the others that are around him.
Mm-hmm. And that was a very interesting discourse about this very significant, crucial, and life-changing topic, spousal selection, here on Muslim Lady. Inshallah ta'ala, thank you, Sister Razia. We'll be discussing this matter in further episodes. Make sure to tune in and join us on our talk about spousal selection and the criteria we have to take into consideration when choosing a life partner. Until then, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the
the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.